Welcome to the Two-Man Game. I'm your host, Landon Holland, and with me, as always, my co-host, Xavier Rocha. What's up, Roach?
What's up, Dando? Let's get these last three awards out of the way and move on.
You want to start with Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I'll open up.
All right.
Rookie of the Year, kind of just, I think, another obvious pick here. I'm going with Paolo. The opportunity he's going to have, and I feel like that's a big word I've been using for a lot of these awards, but the opportunity Paolo's going to have is, I feel like, bigger than the guys that I have behind him on the Magic. He's instantly going to be slotted in as the number one option, I think, just because they picked him number one and view him as like the guy there, so I think he's going to be slotted in as the number one option right away. Hopefully he can show some defensive versatility with his size and his build. He's definitely got the tools to do it. He's just got to buy into that side of the ball. And just those two factors alone, I think, win you Rookie of the Year, and if he's putting up the most points, he's definitely just, I think, the lock to win it for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a no-brainer for Rookie of the Year. I think Paolo should be the clear favorite going into the year, and I think he is for most people. I think Paolo's just going to be instant, high-usage player. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, and I think he's going to help this Magic team improve a lot. Like I said in the last episode, I think this team can make a push at the play-in. And I think Paolo is going to be a big reason for that. So, yeah, I don't have much to say. I think this might be the easiest award for me to pick out of all of them.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, definitely the easiest award. I was going to say Coach of the Year, but there's definitely a lot of things that could happen that would prevent my pick from winning Coach of the Year. But
if Jordan Poole's coming off the bench all year, that might be my
easiest one.
Yeah.
All right, for number two for Rookie of the Year, I have Keegan Murray. Just how he looked in Summer League, he looked so polished as a player, and I just think like his role is going to be so easy to play with, like playing with Fox and Sabonis, and then whoever they're starting, Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes maybe. But his role as a three, I think that's the position he's probably going to play. Is going to be super easy for him. Sabonis is just, I feel like, one of the easiest players to play with in the league. I just feel like he's not asking for touches all the time, and he just is a well-passing big that can get Keegan Murray the ball, and I feel like he's just going to play really good alongside those two players, and if Sabonis takes a step, that just makes Keegan's job easier. If Fox takes a step, that makes Keegan's job easier. And also, Fox is just a super good like pick and roll guard with the ball. Him and Sabonis had like the best pick and roll last year once Sabonis got to the Kings. And I feel like you could see Keegan and Fox running a lot of PNR, which could be super good to get Keegan easy looks and easy buckets. So yeah, my second pick's Keegan Murray. Who do you have at two?
I like it. I'm going with Jaden Ivey at two. I think Ivey and Cade are going to be an electric young backcourt for years to come. And I think Ivy's going to get out to a quick start. I don't know how much improved the Pistons are going to be just with how stacked the Eastern Conference is. And I'm still not super confident with this young team, but I think Ivy's going to be very promising in his rookie year, put up a lot of numbers, and yeah, I'm excited to watch Ivy, and I think he's going to make a push at Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, Ivy's just so electric, and what he's going to bring to that Detroit team, being able to push the pace, and hopefully find players for easy buckets. I don't think he was an incredible passer at Purdue. Definitely showed flashes, like plays that he just made incredible passes, but overall just not a consistent passer and not really a polished passer. But I feel like maybe he finds that here in the NBA. I mean, better players around him might make it a little easier. So
I think it's perfect for him to be playing alongside Cade, because I think Cade's going to be the primary ball handler, and Cade's an amazing passer. So Ivy will be able to play off the ball a lot and just be able to drive a lot off of Cade's passes and shoot a lot of threes. So yeah, I think he'll be able to slowly mold into a playmaking guard in the league, and I don't think his rookie year will be anything special from a playmaking standpoint, but yeah.
Yeah, and he won't have like such a big burden on him, which I think just makes it easier for rookies to kind of get transitioned in, because Cade will be the ball handler there in Detroit. My third pick. Man, I don't know if I want to say him. I might get made fun of. I'm going to do a homer pick, though. I'm going to say Jalen Williams.
Oh.
I don't know how much opportunity he's going to get. He's definitely going to be coming off the bench unless he just outplays Lu Dort, which I don't see happening, but I love J-Dub. He's just looked so good, so polished offensively. His passing ability is incredible. He's long as heck, you and me both love players with insane wingspans, and this dude's arms literally come down to his knees. He's just incredible, dude. He's just so fun to watch. I mean, I just can't wait for this. The Thunder are literally going to take up so much of my time this year.
Oh, yeah, so they are.
I'm going J-Dub. Very, very unlikely, but I'm going J-Dub.
The Thunder are going to be very, very, very good.
I don't know if they'll be good, but they'll be very, very, very fun. Very fun.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm not even going to react to that. I'm just going to go right into my third pick. And this is actually, I was struggling between him and Ivy for the second pick, but I'm going to go with Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara. No, actually, though.
Oh, I thought you actually had him. I was excited.
I actually have him. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was upset when you said him, because I just wanted to talk about him by myself.
I didn't say that much. You go. Go
no,
on.
No. I have a lot to say. This is going to turn into a Jalen Williams podcast. first bold take here. I think he's going to start, if not first game of the season, he'll be starting soon. I think, in the not that I care a lot about preseason games, but yesterday in their preseason game, he started over Bazley, Pokuševski, their other rookie, what's his name? Osman Jang. Yeah. Wiggins, like, he's already starting over those guys. And again, not to put too much on preseason, but just in yesterday's game alone, he put up 16-7-3 on 7 of 10 shooting, 3 steals, and had the highest plus minus on the team, which, again, preseason, can't look into it much, but I've been just drooling over this guy ever since he got drafted, and he was one of my favorite prospects next to Shaedon Sharpe. But man, I just watch it. He's the one player that I've literally watched every single preseason highlight of. I can't get enough of Jalen Williams. Like, I think he's going to be a star, and I know that is like a very bold take. And it's very soon for that, but I am higher on Jalen Williams than I'm going to stop, because I don't want to get too far and start saying that he's the best rookie in this class over their number 2 overall draft pick.
I wouldn't be mad. I mean, if he's as long as the Thunder get the best rookie in this class, I'm happy. So I don't care who it is. I just think it's going to be hard for him to start right away. I mean, if Shea misses time, he's definitely starting at...
Yeah, but who's starting over him?
What do you mean? Lu Dort? I mean, this our starting lineup would be
Shea,
Lu Dort, Giddey, and I guess if Jalen Williams could play the four if he wants.
Because yesterday in their game, Trey Mann was starting at point guard, and I think Shea would come in for Trey Mann, and Mann would come off the bench.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you never know. I think Williams can start very soon, if not the first game of the season.
He could. He's definitely that good. Yeah. I think that, like, what were the minutes played? Like, was Bazley limited last night?
I think Bazley will open up as Bazley starter. Led the team in minutes, Williams was second. But I don't really, I mean, you can't really look into that because starters playing much.
He could start. I mean, I wouldn't care because I'd get to watch more Jalen Williams, but. And Bazley's kind of, I'm already past Bazley, like, he can move on.
Yeah, I think Jalen Williams has an extreme amount of potential, and Bazley's kind of, yeah, I'm done with him too.
And one thing I love about Jalen Williams, he's not afraid. Like, he literally will go out there. Like, he's not afraid of anyone coming in. Like, he just looks so comfortable with the ball in his hands.
I have no critiques.
So rare.
I have no critiques.
It's so rare to find a rookie come in right away and just, like, be so comfortable like that.
And he looks really good at the defensive end, like getting steals, getting in passing lanes. Mm-hmm. And he's just so smooth. Like, we've been talking about Jalen Williams for a long time, but yeah. Wow.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Jalen, if you ever want to be on the pod, hop on. And we'll talk about you all day long.
Yeah. That'd be a great first. That'd be a great first guess.
All right, let's move on to Depoy. You start this one off.
I gotta get off the Jalen Williams train.
Yeah, you need to slow your heart rate.
So, for Depoy, now this is I had this guy for my most improved player, one of the three for my most improved player, and I think you know where I'm going with this, but
I do.
I'm going for a second-year player as my defense player of the year, so Evan Mobley. I mean, like we saw last season, one of the best defensive seasons we've seen out of a rookie in over a decade, and just the fact that he gets a year removed from his rookie season to watch film, to have an understanding going into the season of what teams are going to look like, how teams are going to play, and he gets to implement that into the way he plays defense. I think he was probably top 10 defensive player of the year last year. I think just a year under his belt, and if this Cleveland defense is like a top 3 defense, I think he's going to be right up there. I don't think there's much to say. If you've watched Evan Mobley play defense, you know why this is my pick.
He's generational for sure on that side of the ball. Like, his instincts and just knowing what to do is just incredible. Would be the youngest defense player of the year too if he did win. That'd be cool. But yeah, I mean, if Cleveland's up there, he's the leader on that side of the ball for them. So. And that's all it really takes. Like, that's why Gobert's one is because when the Jazz have been good, he's the anchor down there, and like he is the best defensive player on the team. So I mean, I feel like the same is going to go for Evan Mobley for so many years, and yeah, just an incredible player, and would be insane if he won Defensive Player of the Year in his second year. But with my pick, But what would this be for him? Number 5 or 4? I'm going to go Rudy Gobert. I think it would be 4. I just think if, like, taking the Timberwolves to a top 5 defense from wherever they were last year, or a top defense in general, is just going to be huge for him. And I feel like Gobert by himself is literally a top 5 defense, just like in the regular season, just because you can just funnel stuff to him, and he's going to alter so many shots, block so many shots. So, yeah, I'm going to go Rudy Gobert. Just the improvement that he's going to make to Minnesota's defense is going to be the main and the leading cause in him winning.
Yeah, obviously not a bad pick, but only question with that for me is Gobert going to play as much as he did in Utah? Just based on playing alongside Cat, I think there's going to be games and situations where they're playing just Cat without Gobert. Well, obviously, but I think there could be like games where Gobert's getting like less than 25 minutes. Yeah, yeah. I truly think Gobert's minutes could take like a significant dip this year. Not that he's going to like.
I think that would be wild just because of like the compensation they gave for it to get him. There's no way.
Yeah, but situationally, if the Timberwolves are down a ton of points and like stuff like that, they're not going to. I think they're going to be offensive minded at times, and they just have a lot of versatility. And I think there's going to be moments where we don't get as much Gobert usage as we had in Utah. And also just playing alongside another center, I don't think he's going to get to play defense the same way that he did in Utah. So I think there's going to be an adjustment period for him, as well as just the coaching staff figuring out how they want to play with these two centers.
But yeah, for sure. And I mean, I heard this on podcast I was listening to today, but for them, they have like one of the easiest like opening schedules, and that's going to be super good for them. Just learning to like play together and be able to pick up easy wins is going to be huge for them early on. So definitely going to be an adjustment period, and they're lucky that like they have an easy schedule to open up.
Yeah, that's huge for them just to be able to figure out how they want to play with that huge addition to the team.
But I see the concern for sure, but I think he will get the minutes just because based on the compensation, but definitely.
No, yeah, I think it's a good pick. I'm just curious to see, like, will he even be in the conversation based on like different factors like that? Like, I don't know. Just something to watch for is all I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So was that your first pick?
Yeah.
Okay. So for my number two guy, just another one of the best defenders in the league that's been in on all NBA first defensive teams before. I'm going to go with Bam Adebayo. For the Miami Heat, not much to say. He's going to switch 1 through 5. He's going to be an amazing rim protector. Guard the pick and roll extremely well. One of the best to do it. Steals, playing passing lanes. He's elite on that side of the ball. There's not many that do it better than him. So Miami top three defense, like I said, with the Cavs, I think best player on that defense usually gets some recognition. So Bam's my number two guy.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, the most versatile defender in the league. I mean, you could say Draymond, but he's definitely, like, they're right there with each other. And just that versatility alone and, like, how good Miami is defensively helps his case so much. So, yeah, Bam's, I like the Bam pick. He's on my list. He's just not number two for me. My number two guy, I'm taking a shot in the dark here. It depends on so much and so much unlikely stuff, but I'm going Anthony Davis. Darvin Ham's got to get those boys right and committed, but NAD's got to play over 60 games, which is so, like, that's the main driving factor is him being healthy. But I just think AD, he's shown how good he can be defensively. Like Rudy Gobert, I think if healthy, he can literally just be a defense on his own. And if Darvin Ham gets them playing defense, Pat Bev on the wing, helping him out now, I think you could see Anthony Davis be in the conversations all year long, as long as the Lakers are locked in playing defense. And I think Darvin Ham's going to have him locked in. And hopefully, if they can move Russ, bro, just give up the 2 picks, go get Buddy Hield, go get Miles Turner. This team's look sexy, dude, for sure. And I like Anthony Davis's chances if that happens.
Yeah, I agree. I think Pelinka's got to just suck it up and give those 2 picks away. Like, you got just...
Miles Turner next to Davis.
You got LeBron. So like, you can't... Yeah, I don't know. We don't need to talk about the Lakers for a long time.
Yeah. But Anthony Davis, number two, what do you think?
I love it. I think... I still think Davis is a top three defender in the league. Like, that high of... on the list. And when you last saw him playing at his highest level, which was probably in the NBA finals in the bubble, probably.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, you don't see defenders like that. That was just next level. And he was playing against Bam and made Bam look, I mean, given Bam was like still younger than he is now, Bam's much better now than he was in the bubble. But, yeah. Like, if you asked who I'd rather have on the defensive side of the ball, I'd take AD over Bam. It's just, with all the factors you said, like, I can't pick AD, but yeah, definitely good chance if AD's playing as AD can play, but chances of that aren't super high to me.
Yeah, definitely not. That's why I said shot in the dark, for sure. Yeah.
But shot in the dark that, yeah. It could reach the light.
It would be a crazy hit for sure. And I gave my third. It was Bam. So
okay.
We already talked about him. So yeah. You can give your third.
All right. Well, my third's just another freak. And honestly, might be the best defender in the league, if you ask me. But I could say that for multiple. Like, it's hard to say. But yeah. Giannis is...
literally the Greek freak, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have much to say. It's Giannis, and the only question is how is he going to play defense this year? And like, Budenholzer can do a lot of different stuff with him. He can be a rim protector. He can guard the other team's best player. There's just not like a consistent role with Giannis on the defensive side of the ball because he's just Giannis and literally can do whatever you want him to.
Yeah, so, and they have quality defenders literally everywhere. So like,
yes, so they don't need
him on the best player.
Yeah, when you have like Drew Holiday playing alongside of you, it makes you look like it makes your chances for that award to go down because you're playing alongside of one of the best defenders in the league as well. So like, if you put Giannis on a team with not a lot of good defenders, like you're gonna see a lot more reliance on him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's like the only thing. Like if that wasn't the case, he'd probably be my number one, but.
But yeah, he's already won it, so I mean, he's shown that he can win it. So yeah, and literally best player in the league, probably. So, I mean, there's definitely debate for who is, but he's up there. So, obviously, great pick for sure. That's all I got. Giannis is just that guy. So, for sure. I think Drew Holiday could be a sleeper if Marcus Smart kind of sparked, you know, the guards winning.
Oh man.
Drew Holiday, he gets the recognition. He just not from like the voters.
One of my favorite players in the league is Drew Holiday, and that moment in the I think it was like game 6 Celtics Bucks when Holiday just dominated Smart in the down the stretch on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And like proved that he's still the best guard defender in the league.
Oh, he is.
And like players like KD and other guys have been like Drew Holiday is the best, like best defender overall in the league. That's what a lot of like stars think. But
yeah, dude, if Drew's literally 6'6", like not 6'3", this dude's literally nuts. Like
best defender, he's knocking of all up time.
Literally, dude. Like, oh my gosh, he's so good.
And he's like an old vet, and he's still like, it's crazy what he's done on that.
He's
side
just
of
so
all
smart,
career.
Like,
yeah.
Because he's not crazy athletic and all that. He just literally knows what you're going to do.
He's never in the wrong spot. It's insane. But
yeah. Drew Holiday, dark horse for sure, bro.
right. So for our MVP, you want to get us started?
Yeah, I'm going Jason Tatum.
All right.
I think JT takes a step. He showed last year throughout the playoffs, except maybe in the finals, that he's that dude. And I think he's a little mad from the finals. I think he's going to come into this season red hot, ready to win a lot of games. And the Celtics are still going to be really good. That Udoka situation's pretty rough. I think they'll get over it. They just have so much talent on the team. And I think Tatum's just going to literally take another step. He's literally, so many players in the league have said it, he's the next, like, dude. Like, the next great one. And I believe it. He's shown so much. He's so polished offensively. He showed down the stretch last season how good he is and can be defensively. And if he brings that energy throughout all this, like, the whole season, he's right there. Like, he's primed to win an MVP. So, my number one pick, Jason Tatum from Boston.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And I think the storyline of Udoka, if they overcome that, win a lot of games, just adds to it, so.
Yeah, that's a lot of what these awards are about, is the storyline, so that could definitely be a factor for Tatum winning. I mean, Tatum's going to put up insane numbers, and the Celtics should be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, so, yeah. Great chance of Tatum winning the MVP, I think. And bet, like, in Vegas, he's probably a top five guy for that award, I'm assuming. I'll let you look that up, and I'll move on to my number one guy. I got the most dominant best player in the league, because I feel like that's the easiest way to go with this award. I'm just gonna go with Giannis again for his third time. I think when you just get a guy that's maybe the best defensive and offensive player in the league, I think, yeah, I mean, the Bucks should win a ton of games, and Giannis will obviously be by far their best player, so, yeah.
Yeah, the same thing with him. He's literally just, he's that dude. He's so good. Just like what he provides on the floor every single night. So, yeah, Giannis is a great pick.
Yeah, and the fact that he's
hasn't won
prime,
in a few years, so.
Yeah, he's in his prime, and he continues to just get better every year and add little things to his game. So, who knows, this year he might even be a little bit better at shooting or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Tatum's got the sixth best odds at plus 1,200. Okay. I mean, that's might be a snag, bro.
You before you move on, you want to just run through those?
First is Luka at plus 450, Joel Embiid's two, then Giannis is third. Okay. Kevin Durant fourth, which is Jokic fifth, Tatum sixth, Steph, Ja, Kawhi, LeBron, Zion. That's the top 10. I mean, Zion, bro, plus 2,000. That might be a bet, too. But my number two spot, I'm going Luka. He's, like, you could pick Luka for the next 5 years, and you're guaranteed to be right on at least one of them, because he's literally winning one, if not more. And this could very well be the year if the Mavericks come out, win a lot of games, and finish higher than they did last year. Luka is like one of the top international guys in the league, so just having the fan base from Europe, being that dude since he was 17 playing in the Euro League, just like the storyline with him and just how good he's gotten each and every year. Like, he's adding something new every year, getting better, upping his stats. They just haven't been super good finishing in the standings, and I think if that happens, Luka's primed to win one. Like, the voters want to vote this dude MVP, so if he has any bit of a storyline they're riding with it, and they're going to vote him. So I got Luka at number two.
Yeah, I also have Luka at number two. The only thing keeping, like, I go back and forth between Luka and Giannis, and I think when you look at Giannis, he's won it before. He has amazing teammates, and I mean, you know what you're gonna get. And with Luka, I mean, he is the Mavericks, and they're a great team because him and him alone, pretty much. So, the only reason I went with Giannis over Luka is because I think the chances of the Mavericks like falling to like a 6 seed or like 5 or 6 seed are pretty high. So it's more just based on the fact that I think the Bucks are going to be a lot better team than the Mavs, which I mean they should be. But yeah, Luka could win this award 4 times in the next 10 years, and I wouldn't be surprised. Like that's how much. Yeah, Luka is going to win this award very soon, and wouldn't be surprised if it's this year.
Yeah, I mean, just like finishing, I feel like if they even get the 4 seed, like Jokic got it last year as a 6 seed. And like you look at the top teams in the West, and Luka's team is like doesn't look like it's on paper like better than a lot of those teams up there. So, I mean, if he could carry them and get a higher seed than expected, because I've seen and heard a lot of people have the Mavs in the like play-in. So that's just like how talented the league is right now and how talented the West is up top. So, I mean, if he can overcome those expectations, he's definitely got a very high chance of winning for sure.
Yeah, but if this team's a top 4 seed, like he probably will win. Like, he probably will win it. Because I think this team's going to be a little worse than last year. But then I'm betting against Luka, so that's probably a bad idea.
Yeah. Don't ever bet against Luka. He'll prove you wrong. I got Jokic at 3. The 3-peat. With the 3-peat.
Oh. Wow. Wow.
The first since Larry Bird, if he does do it. And that's just historical if he can. So, I mean, he's got that storyline writing for him. I know the voters fatigue is real. People talk about it. They haven't given players... They didn't give LeBron 3 in a row because of that. They haven't given a lot of players. They didn't give Mike 3 in a row because of that, too. Voters fatigue is real. So, that could be what halts him. But finishing as the 1 seed as I have him projected... I probably should have had him number one just because that would be huge if they had the best record in the league. And he looks and his numbers don't drop at all with the return of Jamal Murray and MPJ. Would be spectacular, and he could definitely do it. So I got Jokic at 3.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I don't like the chances just because, yeah, he's won it twice in a row. And he's got those guys coming back, but again, he's one of the best players in the league, and historically, like, I think the last 2 years just been historical on the offensive end, just with efficiency, and he'll probably do it again this year, just with the type of offensive player he's becoming. I'm going to go with Embiid at 3 again. I don't know. I feel like Embiid is a pick that every year people feel good about, and then like halfway through the year, he starts to fall a little bit. And I think this year Embiid's really going to have to take a step just with his consistency of like being on the court, because I know 2 years ago, a big reason why he lost to Jokic was because he missed like 20 games. And then last year was kind of a mess for Philly, so it was kind of hard to put too much pressure on him. But yeah, I think this year is another opportunity for him to go get that award. And there's an argument that he's the best, like that he's the best player in the league. It's that that's how good he is. And he hasn't proven that in the playoffs yet, but this could be a huge year for him. And yeah, going with Embiid at three.
Yeah, he's been right there. So it would be so easy for him to win just because he's been so close, and all the Sixers need to do is win more games and him be healthy. Like, I feel like that's the case for a lot of players, like, that are up there. Like, they just need to win games. But I think the Sixers will do that, so Embiid's definitely, like, if I had a four slot, he'd probably be there. And I did think about throwing him in my list, but yeah, he's literally right there. I would say maybe the most dominant player in the league, just like his ability to get to the line at his size and then also just hit free throws at his size is insane. And he just controls the paint like on both sides of the floor. So yeah, Embiid's a great pick and one of my favorite players in the league too. So I love it.
Do you have any deep sleepers for MVP? Like, not even from guys you read on that list?
Well, I mean, Zion at 10 is pretty crazy. I think he's a sleeper, even though he's at 10. But, dude, no, I think there's, like, a clear cut. Like, it's going to be one of the guys we named. Jason Tatum's probably not close to, like, Luka, Jokic, and Embiid, and Giannis. But I feel like it's going to be one of those four, at least. And I'll throw Tatum in there, because Tatum's going to win, so it's going to be one of them five.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe Steph gets another if the Warriors just win a bunch of games, and the voters want to give him one, because everyone loves Steph.
Yeah, this is the war that
way too much money. Like, wait, not money. Way too many like players. Like, he's just like not. It's not going to be like in 15-16 when he was literally just like insane doing everything. Like, they're just too good.
Yeah, you're gonna have Klay going for 30 some nights. You're gonna have Poole going for 30 some nights, and yeah, I agree.
You have any sleepers?
I mean, nothing. Garland. No. I do think a sleep like that wasn't on the top 11 list. I think a guy that you could throw in there is maybe like Jimmy Butler. Maybe Anthony Davis. But nothing that I see is gonna actually happen.
Yeah, like if AD's healthy and like I said in the DPOY conversation, he'll be in that MVP combo for sure.
I can give you a ridiculous take, though. I can give you a ridiculous take.
All right, let me hear it.
I think this is ridiculous, and I don't even think I believe it. But like, what if the Pelicans are a top two seed and Ingram turns out to be like the best player this year for that team?
He showed that he's literally that dude.
Like, maybe that's not ridiculous. That's a very far stretch thing from happening, but I think it's possible Ingram's the best player on that team and they're one of the top teams in the West. So that might be my biggest sleeper of like an MVP, but I don't think there's any chance of, that's not going to happen. But
yeah, I think you and me both think that they're going to finish really good in the standings.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, if he outperforms Zion and like outdoes Zion, he's going to, like, I don't know if Zion will just be deemed like MVP of the team, like kind of how Chris Paul is with Devin Booker, like just because he's like the guy there, or like, I guess Booker's like the guy in Phoenix, but like, you know what I mean? Like, Chris Paul got a lot of love because he went there and like turned the Suns around. I feel like Zion's kind of like New Orleans' little prodigy or whatever, so he would get a lot of like the praise. But I mean, you and me, we're going to recognize like if B.I.'s outperforming him, and they're winning a lot of games. So,
yeah,
not a crazy take, just because I think the Pelicans will be that good. I just think Zion's better than Brandon. So.
Yeah, but let's be real. Neither of those guys are going to win MVP.
Like, yeah, no.
I think the Pelicans they're going to be a top team because of just how much talent they have all around. But
yeah, they look
insane. Sleeper for Depoy Herb Jones.
he will win one. He will.
If that it's team a is a top like 12 defensive team, it's because he's been great. Because that team's going to win a lot of games because of their offense, I think. So,
yeah.
If they can be like a top 10 defensive team, because I think they're for them not to be like a top 5 offense is going to be like disappointing. I think they should be
elite. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know who else is going to get a Depoy though eventually?
Jalen Williams.
Yeah, J-Dub.
What's he not going to do? I guess sixth man of the year because he's going to start right off from the first year.
Just won't get sixth man.
He'll probably get coach of the year once he retires and becomes a coach.
Yeah, that's 40 years down the line, but.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably win everything else.
Let's hope.
I should love it. Gotta love a Jalen Williams podcast.
One's coming soon. I'm gonna hit him up every single day until he responds to me.
send him this episode.
I will.
Jalen Williams from Santa Clara.
The next great one.
All right. Well, that was a fun episode. I enjoyed talking about Jalen Williams and all these award predictions. Yeah. Anything else?
For I mean, fans? just let them know like our next episode's breakout players, so you can be able to see that in about a week from this episode. So
yeah
we'll get that to you.
We might even talk about Jalen Williams again.
Oh, he'll be talking. I mean, you can't really breakout player is not really a rookie, but
that's true. We'll have to save that for next year.
But yeah, well, I'm gonna be better at recording with you and getting at least. One a week. I like when we do these two-parters because it kind of takes pressure off of us if we can't get a week in. So maybe we can stick with this or something.
Yeah, and once we're watching games every night, we'll start recording a lot more because we'll have a lot more to talk about. So
yeah, for sure, for sure.
And games start, is it less than a week from now? Yeah.
The 19th opening night.
It's the 18th.
Seven. Really?
Yeah, there's two games the 18th.
Oh, wow. That's the
coming up.
Lakers.
Lakers, Warriors, and Celtics, Sixers, yeah.
Dude, those are both insane games.
We'll get to see yours.
Man. Let's go.
Oh, man. It's an exciting time of year.
MVP. I don't know why I didn't have James Harden as my MVP, dude.
Yeah, Joel Embiid just taking a back seat.
There's the sleeper, dude. James Harden.
Tyrese Maxey about to be better than James Harden this year. You know.
Not yet, not yet.
All right, well, thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next week with our up-and-coming players. And yeah, see you next time.
See you guys.